I heard a devotional by Brett Younger. Some of you will know that name. He has some CBF and some McAfee connections and ties. And that devotion got me thinking about this particular passage of Scripture. So I borrowed a few of his ideas as I worked on this message. So he gets some of the credit or some of the blame, as the case may be, for the message today. Tomorrow is the beginning of 2018, and that seems impossible to me. Where in the world did 2017 go? Today is the last day of December, and I'm still thinking, what happened to March? How did I miss it? One of my absolute favorite theologians had something to say that reflected how we experience the passing of time and the pace of our life. Hear these words from Dr. Seuss. How did it get so late so soon? It's night before it's afternoon. December here before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flown. How did it get so late so soon? We know life is short, yet we seem to let time pass and a day go by as if we had several lives to live or more. We give too many of our days to too much of our time to things that don't really matter. It is almost as if we're waiting for life to start after we have taken care of a few different things. You've heard it said that life begins at 30 or maybe 40. Or at least and for sure by 60, or very soon after that. 25 years ago, I was teaching a young married adult Sunday school class. Judy Carlson and I were teaching that class together. Some of y'all will remember that name. It was a young married, newlywed couples class, and one couple in there, he was only 22 and she was 19. Somewhere in the discussion of our lesson, on one Sunday, we asked the question, what are you looking forward to? What was the focus at this time in your life? And you know what their answer was? Retirement. I'm thinking, you're only 19 years old. You've got a long time until that is your reality. But they said they couldn't wait. Wasn't it John Lennon who said, life is what happens while you're busy making other plans? I hope that couple came up with plans other than just waiting for retirement. If they are waiting till retirement for life to begin, they have missed way too much living, learning, and happiness by the time they reach retirement age. I read somewhere, happiness is a journey, not a destination. It is found along the way and not at the end of the road, because by then, the journey is over and it's too late. The time for happiness is today, not tomorrow. Many of us have this idea that life will begin at a certain age or after we get past a few things or after we take care of a few plans or once we are out of debt or make partner or after the kids leave home or after we have taken care of whatever it is that's unfinished business that's been waiting, then life will begin. We seem to understand that it's wrong to let life slip by uneventfully, but we do not take note of the same concept if we look at our life only 1 hour at a time. Our lives slip by 1 hour at a time, one day after another, in a million small ways and without a care or concern. What are we thinking? Or are we thinking at all? Or are we paying attention to what is happening around us? I was helping my mother pack up and get rid of a few things in her apartment, stuff that she no longer needed or no longer wanted. I think she was sort of decluttering her life and her home so that our family doesn't have to do that for her someday in the future. The problem with her doing this is that some of what she was ready to toss, I wanted to keep. Her trash became my treasure. We actually found photos and papers that belonged to my grandmother from 100 years ago. In the box of stuff we were working through, I found baby pictures of our children. And once again, I took note of how much all our kids and grandkids look alike. All really good-looking children. And this is a sidebar, but my son's baby pictures look just like our daughter's. Our grandson's baby pictures look just like his dad. And the same goes for the rest of the grandkids. They all look alike. And as Margie says, maybe our family only has one mold. But I will tell you, that is fairly convenient. You can put out one baby picture on the mantle in our house, and depending upon who asks the questions, you say, oh yeah, that was Scott when he was little. Or Jenna, or Nate, or Ava, or Caleb. One picture does it all, and no one can prove I'm wrong. But as my mother and I dug through the boxes and the baby pictures from decades ago, we were both hit by the reality that my son will be 39 on his next birthday. How can that be? He was only 12 just a couple of years ago. Our 31-year-old daughter was in kindergarten last year. Our 13-year-old grandson just turned 3 a year ago. Our 3-year-old granddaughter was born in August, and the 4-month-old baby just showed up at Christmas. What happened while I wasn't paying attention? Someone in this church once told me that once you get over the hill, you pick up speed. And I believe it. Time goes by too quickly. Life goes by too quickly. Life goes by too quickly for us to spend it on cell phone video games and computer solitaire. It goes by too quickly for bad novels and The Bachelor. And heaven help us, The Bachelorette. Too quickly for waiting to take a vacation or waiting for a better day. Too quickly for not celebrating a special occasion or stopping to smell the roses. Too quickly for not eating on the good china for no particular reason. Too quickly for worrying, fretting, or despair. Too quickly for complaining in general or trying to get everyone to agree to your opinion. Too quickly for railing against the things we cannot change. Too quickly for always doing the same thing, taking the same path, or getting into a rut. Life goes by too quickly for us to be bored, too quickly to always sit out the dance, and too quickly to just blend in. It goes by too quickly for us to skip church, not sing with our hearts, whether we are in key or out of key, or not pray, or not praying, even when we don't feel like it. Too quickly for not saying to your friends how much they mean to you, not telling your family how much you love them. Too quickly to not live the life we intended to, hoped to, planned to, but didn't, just because we never got around to it. We should not give ourselves to things that are less than God's best, or surrender ourselves to the world's values and morals, because life is too short. That one's Brett's, and I'm going to repeat it. We should not give ourselves to things that are less than God's best, or surrender ourselves to the world's values and morals, because life is too short. Throughout Scripture, we get the impression the disciples never get this figured out. They act and think as if they have forever, and as if Christ will physically be with them always. They stress over the small stuff and the wrong things. They mostly see only what is unimportant. And we frequently do just the same thing. We forget, as they did, that our lives and our faith is all about what it is all about in the first place. But Christ knows the time is short. He says that repeatedly, but no one wants to hear that. As Christ turns from his ministry in and around Galilee and heads toward Jerusalem, He knows he's going there to die. There are crowds waiting to greet him, celebrate his arrival, but there are also crowds waiting for the opportunity to crucify him. But his words to his disciples are, don't be afraid. You've been given the kingdom. God has given you life itself. Be generous. Give to the poor. Your possessions aren't what matter when you realize your entire life is a gift that is in God's hands. God has given us eternity and life everlasting, so all the worldly stuff around us is unnecessary. Only what is from God is what is worth holding on to. Our priorities, our real priorities, come into focus when we are sometimes in what I call those totally dependent upon God situations and moments. I've stood at too many hospital beds, been in too many ERs, visited too many hospice patients, and stood beside too many gravesides with grieving families. And in those situations and circumstances, what is important comes into focus. Our priorities become clear. One of my oldest and dearest friends, Ron Anderson, some of y'all know him. I had known him and we had been friends since kindergarten. He called me a couple of years ago, sort of out of the blue. They had discovered cancer, stage 4. A small band of about 5 of us had all grown up together and been around each other all of our lives. Kindergarten, grammar school, junior high school, college, the same Boy Scout troop, the same Little League teams, the same garage band, same church, same fraternity, and all in the BSU at the University of Georgia together. And after college, each of our lives took their own direction. As we one by one got married, started careers, and had families. This dear friend one night called all of us who had made up that original band of brothers just to say goodbye, not in so many words. And he also wanted to say how much he loved us. So our last words to each other, he said, "I love you, Bob." My reply was, "I love you, Ron." He died a year ago. Life is too short for what is unimportant. The scripture passage tells us to stay awake, keep the lights on, listen to this story. Some servants are busy running around doing what is unimportant, not giving a lot of thought to the master who has gone off to get married. When he comes back, and none of us knows exactly when that will be, even if it is in the middle of the night, what a celebration that will be. Verse 32 from the Message Bible. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Be generous, give to the poor. Get yourselves a bank that can't go bankrupt. A bank in heaven, far from bank robbers, safe from embezzlers, a bank you can bank on. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is, the place you will most want to be and end up being. Keep your shirts on, keep the lights on. Be like house servants waiting for their master to come back from his honeymoon. Awake and ready to open the door when he arrives and knocks. Lucky the servants whom the master finds on watch. He'll put on an apron, sit them at the table, serve them a meal, sharing his wedding feast with them. It doesn't matter what time of the night he arrives, they're awake and so blessed. You know that if the house owner had known what time the burglar was coming, he wouldn't have stayed out late and left the place unlocked. So don't be slovenly and careless. Just when you don't expect him, the Son of Man will show up. God's gift to us is his presence. That is what we celebrate, God's presence in our lives. God wants us to know he is still there even in our sorrow, our trials, or whatever. God wants us to understand we will be okay. Christ wants us to have amazing lives, loving our enemies, turning the other cheek, and serving others. And in these amazing lives, Christ wants us to know we are forgiven, despite even what we think of ourselves or what others think of us. We are loved by our Creator and Lord just because, simply because we are valued. God calls us to be watchful for how joy shows up in our lives. Be watchful and be ready and live in anticipation. You choose what to invest your life in. Daily, hourly, each and every day. So choose to live each day as if it were your last, because someday you'll be right. Choose to stay alert. Be prepared. Light the lamps and get ready. Wait for the knock. Seek to serve. Choose to do what you love and do it to the best of your ability in work, in play, and in worship. Choose to realize today may be the only day you have, so read a good book and eat dessert first. Choose to go to church and sing and pray and worship. Choose to tell the truth and listen to those you love, and then let them know how much you love them. Visit or call someone you should have called long ago, but just haven't gotten around to it. Choose to be happy. Do something interesting and fun. Find something special about each day. Choose to forgive. Look for the best in others and hope they look for the best in you. Choose to be with gracious and caring people that are significant and helpful in your life. Choose to try something new. Seize the day. Dream big and follow the dream. Choose to live a life that you would be proud of and that you hope others would be mindful of. Choose to think deeply, make changes that will make a difference, accomplish something, and don't worry about who gets the credit. Choose to celebrate and worship God and make that a priority, since that is the basis of all life. Choose not to leave something unimportant undone. Possible, have no regrets over things you didn't accomplish or over things you at least tried to accomplish, whether you succeeded or not. Choose to tell someone about how God has impacted your life and your family. Be someone who shares their faith. All of us have a story to tell about what God has done in our lives. Choose to pray without ceasing, with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, because it is becoming so late, so soon. Let's pray together. Dear God, let us see clearly what is important in your eyes. Let us make choices that celebrate the life and love and joy you intended for us. Let us not waste a single minute, but be totally amazed by your presence and your work in and around us. Let us be ready for your return. Thank you for friends and family, for simple evidences of your love for us, for blessings to share and for dreams to follow. Bless us in this new year. Bless our church. And Lord, if anyone here has not chosen to accept you as Savior, I pray before a new year begins that you'll lead them to come to that decision. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.